I talk to you about freedom and the power and the glory of God that comes. The title of the message this morning is How Free Is Your Freedom? We have such a tendency as believers to become settled in our faith. We have a tendency to become a little bit I don't want to say apathetic, but we get used to our salvation sometime. That's something we should never do. Our salvation is such a personal treasure, such a wonderful thing, that no one reaches a spiritual height. The salvation's just a way of life. Every day of your life when you get up, every moment of your thinking, conscious life, you should keep in mind how much you appreciate the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. Can you say amen? There's such a peace that comes from knowing we're right with God. This morning after I preached that message, I was on my way home, and I could be in trouble if I am. It won't be the first time in 48 years. But Ruth said I had a word for the church, and that's very rare if you know your pastor. She rarely says that, but if she does, I know it's from God. And so I asked her to write that down, and I copied it, and I have it right here. Now, I've done something tonight because I believe it's very important, because I believe there's people here tonight that have to have this word. The timing of God is more important than any event you'll ever pray for. And God's timing for this word was tonight, more so than this morning. And this morning it would have been appropriate. But tonight God has a word. If you're watching online, it's for you as well. I'm going to read that to you in a few minutes, but I want to give you a brief word about God and you and how he cares for you. Because many times we have the opinion, and it's opinion that we come up with. I don't know where I come up with my opinions. In fact, God spoke to me one time, and he said, I want you to lose your opinion. But many times we come up with the ideas in our mind of what God is thinking. Now, I know that sounds funny, but I've been guilty of it. Maybe you haven't. There have been times where I've wondered if God cares. Anybody besides me? There's been I've wondered if God hears me. There's been times if I've wondered in my life, where is God? And there have been times where I have hidden from God, thinking that I was. I will tell you that I remember one time walking in the auditorium of Central Assembly, and I was in the upper area, and it was the middle of the day, and it was dark up there, and I was just walking along, and I began to say this, and I really didn't laugh then, but I'm laughing now, because I was going through a hard time, and I said this, I said, God, I'm just going to be honest with you. And he went, oh, really? You see, God knows all about you. God knows all about you. He knows all about you more than you can even begin to imagine. So I gave this little word tonight a title. And the title's just a face in the crowd. I want you to go with me to Matthew and turn to the 15th chapter of Matthew. I'm reading from the NASB, Lonnie. Matthew chapter 15, starting at about, 21, and we'll go down to the end of that chapter. I'm going to paraphrase quite a bit of it. In Matthew chapter 21, the Bible says, Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. That is a place where Jesus would not normally go. Do you remember the widow woman that the prophet went to that was gathering sticks to eat and to die? 700 years, 800 years before the coming, physical coming of Jesus. That's that same area, and it wasn't a place of friendliness to Jews, because Sidon was the capital of the worship of Baal, we call Baal, Jezebel's hometown. And it's not some place you would see Jesus going to, but he went there. And the fact that he's omniscient, he wasn't surprised by his going there. It was purposeful. When he got there, there was a woman, and his disciples saw her as a distraction. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region, they were called Syrophoenicians, they were called Canaanites, they were outcast. From that region came out and began to cry out. She began to say, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." Here's the heart of a mother. If you've ever been a father or a mother or an aunt or an uncle to someone close, you know that when your kids hurt, you'd rather hurt than them hurt. And her child, her daughter, was hurting. It was serious. It was demon possession. She was from away from the nation of Israel. She didn't have the promise of the Messiah at that time. And Israel and the disciples were sure that when the Messiah came, it would be a very exclusive little club, and he would stay right there. And they were now, the disciples are starting to see the lordship of Jesus. So they're taking this woman, not seriously, they're casting her away. They're pushing her away. But the Bible says in verse 23, talking about Jesus, he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. She's embarrassing us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's saying this in hearing distance of this woman. "You're not in the club. You're not in the group. You were not in this group I was sent to." But this woman's desperation began to cause her to cry even louder and even more. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." I want to tell you something. When you come to God and you bow before him and say, "Help me," it's an irresistible reaction from God to not help you. He will help you. And he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." What an insult. He was telling her, "You're not part of the nation of Israel. I'm not supposed to take what's good and give it to you Canaanites. You were the obstruction when we came into the land of promise. You were our enemies. Out of you came every false god that Israel ever had to deal with. You represent everything that I don't and we don't want any part of." But she's saying, "Have mercy on me." But she said to him, and this statement was probably one of the greatest statements ever to resound in biblical history and even today. And she answered and said, "Yes, Lord, I know that it's not good to give the children's bread to dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Woo-hoo. My God, I want a heart like that. More than anything in this world, I want a heart like that. Not that I deserve attention from God. Not that I deserve the love of God. Not that I deserve anything from Jesus. But I'm willing to take the crumbs from the table to have that kind of heart. Says, Lord, I'll take anything you'll give me if you'll just give me. Then Jesus said to her, oh, woman. Now, I've researched that phrase. I've researched it with some of the great scholars. I've asked Dr. Wave Nunley, what does oh, woman mean? Dr. Nunley says, it means like this. Oh, woman. Oh. He's touched. He's touched. She said, I'll take the crumbs. We're in a society today that wants the best of the table. Oh, woman, your faith is great. And that should be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly at once. Whew. Can you touch the heart of God? Somebody say yes. But you touch it through humility. You touch it through a lowly state. You touch it through coming to Him and saying, it's not that I deserve anything of you or any ability that you have to help me, but I'm just saying, God, I'll take the crumbs. She humbled herself, and I'm finding out in my life, as older as I gain years, that the humbler, if there's such a word, that I can make myself, the lower that I can stance my place in the presence of God, the more of the attention of God I gain by Him. Well, the story's far from over. Verse 29 says, departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up to the mountain, He was sitting there, and a large crowd, my goodness, a large crowd came to Him, bringing those with them, those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at His feet. Look where they put Him. Once again, humble at the feet of Jesus. I'm not into a conflict with any other preacher, pastor, organization, anywhere. This is in no way critical of anything. I'm just making a statement. You'll get more at the feet of Jesus than you will being a celebrity. You'll get more at the feet of Jesus by humbling yourself before Him than any place. They laid all of their sickness. The crazy thing about this story prior to this is Jesus went to a place knowing that Syrophoenician, knowing that Canaanite woman would be there, knowing she had a need. He went to her situation, which was not good. And you have a situation tonight that's not good, but Jesus is coming to your location. And He's not coming there because it's the right thing to do, or He's not coming there because it's the proper thing, or it's the right spiritual etiquette, or the right thing to be seen as. He's coming because you're hurting. That's why He's coming. He'll wade into Tyre. He'll wade into Sidon. He'll walk into the very face of Baal's kingdom for you and you alone. All these people they laid at His feet. So the crowd marveled. Oh, let's go back to that one. I forgot the last line. And He healed them. And He healed them. Do you think divine healing's part of the nature of God right now? If you do, raise your hand. Let me tell you something. As we move closer to the return of Jesus Christ, divine healing is going to flourish in the bride of Christ. There's going to be greater miracles than we've ever known in the last many, 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 many hundreds of years. There's going to be a resurgence. I'm not saying that like there's going to be like some pie in the sky out there. Let me say it this way. There is presently a resurgence of the divine in the church today. You see, the bride of Christ is being adorned for the return of Jesus Christ. So the word of God says, so the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Verse 32, and Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for these people because they've been, listen to this, they have remained with me now for 3 days. Whew. 3 days. We are in too big of a hurry. Well, it's the way the world goes now. I have a Greek word for that I want to teach you. Say it with me real close. Baloney. I'm not driven by the morals or the codes of this world. And I want to stop being in a hurry with Jesus. I want to start taking my time with him. Learning, hearing, knowing. 3 days. Healing everyone that came, ministering to them, the divine word, the breath of God coming out in human nature and divine nature at the same time. But Jesus said, they've been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. Let me take every opportunity I can to point what I'm trying to push toward. Jesus cares about your needs. If he'll just bless me spiritually, I want to tell you something. He knows that he will bless you spiritually, but if you're hungry, you're going to faint. And he cares about every aspect of your life. He cares about your private life. He cares about your social life. He cares about your home. Your family, he cares about the hurts, the burdens you carry, the sicknesses, everything. He cares. So Jesus said, we don't want to send them on this way. The disciples, verse 33 said, the disciples said to him, in verse 33, the disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? Huh. Where are we going to get food here? Now, the scripture is going to tell us there are 4,000 men, plus their wives, plus their children. So we're looking at, when you translate that out, we're talking about 4,000 married men with their wives and their children, and being Jewish, I've never seen a small Jewish family. Let's say they're just 3 kids. Just 3. That's 25,000 people. 6 times 24,000. If there's 4. What are we going to feed them out here? How much do you have? They said, well, let's look and see what we've got here. And Jesus said, just tell me what you've got. And they said, 7 loaves and a few fish. Now, here's the miraculous thing about this. How many of you have ever had God do something for you really good and then you forgot? Besides me. Oh, I remember. I do. But this is a new deal. This is a new day. This miracle is called the miracle of the seven loaves. It fed 4,000 men and their wives and their children. Just prior to this, an entirely different event was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men and their wives and their children, and it's called the miracle of the five loaves. Two different, complete events. These men had just experienced Jesus taking a boy's lunch, a happy meal, and sitting down and breaking it and feeding 25 to 30,000 people. Think about the size of the towns around here. There's not a 30,000 town for a long ways around here besides, you know, Springfield's big, but that's huge, but 30,000. Can you imagine what it would take to organize and get everything ready to feed 30,000? Jesus said, here, just start giving them this. And he breaks the bread and he breaks the fish, and before long, they're all going, we can't eat another bite, and there are 12 baskets left over. Then they get in the boat with the 12 baskets of remnants of leftover of what God did, and they almost think they're going to die in a storm, but Jesus is saying, just relax. Remember what I've done. Let me just say this to you tonight, and I've got to take this as to heart as you do. Just relax. Remember what God has done for you. Is anybody in here, is there anybody here who can say, Pastor, God's done some things for me? Can you? Can you? Why do I ask you to raise your hand? Because it's a testimony. Well, I'm not going to obey you. It's not a matter of obeying me or not obeying me. It's obeying Jesus and saying, God, I'm testifying that you've been faithful. Now, how many can say he's been good to me in the past? Anybody? God is so good. He said, this second miracle of the feeding. And Jesus took the seven loaves and the fish, just said a few fish. That means three or four, five, ten, who knows. And he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over in broken pieces, seven large baskets. And those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And then they sent them away, healed and healthy and full. Four 4,000 men plus their wives and children. And they're all sitting there. They've been there 3 days and they're starving to death. If we miss a meal, a meal. 3 days. 3 days. But if I was sitting there, I'm going to be quite honest with you. If I was sitting there, I would think, I'm just a face in the crowd. Why would he? He doesn't know me. I didn't have anyone that was sick. I watched him heal blind eyes. I was thrilled. I was blessed. I watched him heal the cripple. I watched him touch the deaf mute. I watched him cast devils out. And he's real. And I know, but I didn't have any contact with Jesus other than just being there. And I'm just a face in the crowd. 25,000 people here. Really? One man. And he's speaking words like I've never heard before. And I believe him. And I love him. And I praise him. But he doesn't know me. He doesn't really, probably, it's not that he's mean or ugly. He probably doesn't have the ability to even care about me. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before, but I have. Twenty-5,000 people, just a face in the crowd. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt like yoo-hoo, God, and not had a response? Have you ever felt like I'd like to crawl under a rock? Now you say, man, you're talking about depressing things. No, I'm not. I've got a good side to this. You ever want to pull the covers up over your head and hide? God hadn't forgotten you for one second. I'm bringing a good word to you tonight. God hadn't forgotten you for one second. I don't care what kind of work the devil's done on you. It doesn't matter how he's beat you over the head and lied to you and tried to convince you that your heavenly Father doesn't care. That's the biggest lie that was ever perpetrated in history. Jesus cares about you and his omniscience. Now let me explain something. We cannot understand or comprehend omniscience, but it's an all-knowing. And there's nothing about you Jesus doesn't know. There's not one fiber. In fact, he knows your end and your beginning. He knows your personal situation. 25,000 people there and some little lady sitting over here, and I don't have a husband and I don't have children. I'm just here. I'm just a face in the crowd. How could he pop? What? Yeah, well, thank you. Look at this. He gave me fish and bread too. She ate till she couldn't eat anymore. But she was just a face in the crowd. I've never done this before. In all the many years that I've been preaching this gospel, I've never asked anyone to write down a prophecy. Only one other time in my entire life did I have a prophecy that was written down, and it was given to me because I was in a service and I heard it. And someone wrote it and typed it out, and I put it in my billfold until it literally disintegrated for years because I knew it was for me. I've never asked anybody. I don't believe in the new form of send me your prophetic word and I'll see if I want to share it with the church. I don't believe that. I believe God has a right word at a right time, and we have no business dictating when that will be. If we yield to the Holy Spirit. But today, I said, Ruth, can you write this down? And it was fresh in her heart and mind. You want me to read it or you want to read it? I'll read it. If you could see the look I got just then. Sweet, but very stern. You read it. Now, how anyone could take someone as bashful and shy as my wife? She taught 33 years at Central Bible College, a professor. Written articles all over the world, done everything. But when we first got married, she was so bashful, she wouldn't even call dial a prayer. She's brave now and bold and has a lot of good words. Do you appreciate her and her ministry? Here's a prophetic word that she is giving from God, but it has a target tonight. I know this has it. Let me just tell you how I know it, and something I've never done before. I made 60 copies. And if I read this to you and you say, Pastor, now let me tell you something. This isn't some silly religious recipe. This isn't some chant. This is a word from the Holy Ghost to believers that need a word tonight, because there's some people here tonight. I don't know if we'll give 5 or 10 away, and I don't want you. I'm going to let you have one, and I'm going to anoint it. We're going to pray over it for you. But I want you to, and I'm led by the Holy Spirit to do. I've never done this in my life. But here's the prophecy. On 9/19 of 2021, some of you think that you're hiding from God, and some of you think that God has hidden from you. I tell you that neither is true. You believe that God does not see you, or God does not care, but God has always seen and cared for you. Psalms 139 says, God saw your unformed body in your mother's womb, and that all your days were written in his book before one of them came to be. While you think you are forgotten or hidden from God, God would say to you, my eyes are never off of my child. I created you on purpose for a purpose. I'm a good father. I am your father. As your father, let me direct you to the fulfillment of the plan I have for you. Remember, you were never a mistake. You were planned and commissioned by me. Listen, if you're applauding, applaud the Holy Spirit. This is a word from God. And this is a word that some of you need. And I'm convinced of that as I've ever been. This is not like any normal service I've ever had. I'm not making any apologies. I'm just telling you this is how the Holy Spirit's leading me tonight. And I want to live every day of my life led by the Holy Ghost, not by me. And so I'm being obedient. I didn't tell Ruth I was going to do this. She's hearing this for the first time. I was just going to read it. Sometimes we need a word. This is a word from God. They're numbered. I'm going to anoint these. And when I anoint the top one, it's going to be for all. I'm going to go down through it. The oil of the Holy Spirit, this symbolizes the oil of the Holy Spirit. For those of you that believe or think or feel alone or face in the crowd, God wants you to know he's called to encourage you tonight. You're far from a face in the crowd. Listen one more time. Some of you think that you are hidden from God, and some think that God has hidden from you. I tell you that neither is truth. You believe that God does not see you, or God does not care, but God has always seen and cared for you. Psalms 139 says, God saw your unformed body in your mother's womb, and that all your days were written in his book before one of them came to be. While you think you are forgotten or hidden from God, God would say to you, my eyes are never off of my child. I created you on purpose for a purpose. I'm a good father. I am your father. As your father, let me direct you to the fulfillment of the plan I have for you. Remember, you are never a mistake. You were never a mistake. You were planned and commissioned by me. Would you like a copy? I'm going to pray over it. If you would, I want you to form a line right here, and I want you to come and get one, and then I want you to spread out across the front here. And we're going to pray together. This is not our work or handy work from us. This is from the Holy Spirit. I'm as sure. Huh? Okay. There you go. If we need more copies, we'll make them. Just spread out across the front. I want to hand each one of you one. Because this is from the Holy Spirit. This is not from man. Dave's on his way, if you want to help him. There are times where we feel alone and we need God's touch in our life. You go through things. Folks, listen to me and listen closely. If you're not going through something today, you may need this next week. I'm not trying to give these away. I'm just telling you, this is a word from God. There you are. Yeah. I want you to stay in an attitude of prayer. If you would, just come around the altar. We're all going to pray together in just a moment. But just stay in an attitude of prayer right now. You can read over it. You can look at it. But move right up on the altar area there, if you would. Fold it up and put it in your billfold, put it in your purse, put it in your Bible. But God wants to encourage the church tonight, and that's what he's doing. There may be days ahead of you that you don't know about that God has a need. You want one, Vanna? For you to know this. We don't know what life holds, but I know God's faithful. Amen? Amen. He's so faithful. Just crowd right up around the front here if you can. That's a good one. That's Johnny Minnick. Just turn it down just a little, Ed. That's good. I like that. I have some more coming if you want some more. They're coming now. Hurry up, please. Isn't that awful? They know I love, these are my brothers. I love them, but I like to walk fast. Anybody else? Come quickly. This isn't any kind of magical anything. This is just a word from God that you can refer to and trust God that it's real and it's for you. Anybody else? I'm not forcing these on anyone. This is gold if you want it. Or 25,000 people. Jesus says, seat them, set them down. Somebody said, I'm just a face in the crowd. But not to Jesus. He knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb, and your life is written in his book already. He knows you. We talked about the faithfulness of God tonight. Everything planned into this word without us orchestrating one thing. God's word doesn't need orchestration. You can read this word as often as you would like and know this is what God's telling me for me. I'm telling you, one of these is going to go in my billfold. And I want to see and hear and know the very plan of God in my life. Let's pray together. Father God, you know everything about my life. As I pray this, you pray this in your own way. You know every moment of my life before I was conceived to the end of my life on this earth. You know every day. You've given me the freedom of free will. But God, you know all things. That's what makes you God. And in those days that I feel lonely and forlorn and I'm not sure where you are, you're there. My father used to sing, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend that's always there. Father God, I thank you tonight for this word that tonight is so timely and so perfect. Holy Spirit, this is a prophetic word, and we're living in the day of the prophetic. Not foolishness, not games, but in the true prophetic word of God. You've encouraged us. You've set our feet on the path of trust, knowing that all things, mighty God, all things, God, are done to your glory and to your honor. Oh, God, take this word and burn it into the hearts. Burn it into the hearts of people tonight. God, let it be the treasure of a light in darkness, a strength in loneliness, help. Hope, knowing that you have all things in control, that you care for us, that you're moving and working. And when we look back, Vanna said it has been my heart, 2020 vision. When we look back, Jesus never failed. God, I praise you and thank you. Holy Spirit, I've never orchestrated a service like this, and I'm not tonight. I'm letting you. So I'm just saying, Lord, you do with this word as only you can. Would you just take that word and just hold it up to your chest right now and just say, Lord, put this in my spirit. God, put it in my heart. If I don't need it today, I'll need it someday. I'll need your strength and help. God, I'll need this word. And I know, God, you've given it to me today, so I may be the one that needs it today more than anybody else. But you're so faithful. And the fact that you're all-knowing, you knew who would be here tonight, and you knew how this word would encourage and strengthen and help people. Mighty God, you're so good. Never fail me yet. Never fail me yet. My God has never failed me yet. This one thing I know, that wherever I go, Jesus' blood has never failed me yet. Lord, thank you for the sweet spirit tonight. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, that can't be manufactured or made. It can't be bought or purchased. But you freely pulled us into your presence today. This morning and tonight, you've given us strength, not just to endure the battle, but to win the battle with victory. So, mighty God, let us go forth from here knowing that you who know all things and care, and that we're your children, we're heirs of your glory and your precious promises, that we can take this tonight, God, and lay down in peace. And say, oh God, my God cares for me. every need, every care. Now, Jesus, I thank you for the day, this morning, tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness. Mighty God, I ask you to bless these people with a blessing, an unexpected blessing that they weren't even counting on. But God, you knew. God, I'll praise you and thank you for your goodness to us now and this treasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sometimes it's better just to let Jesus to minister to us. Amen. Somebody said, well, Pastor, why don't you lay hands? Why don't you let the Holy Spirit do it tonight? Isn't that wonderful? We can do that at times. But I believe God's really spoken in this place tonight. So I want you to take this home with you and know that tomorrow, live in the expectancy of this word, the peace, the joy, and the comfort of this word. Amen? And then Wednesday night, Lord willing, I'm going to have a word for you. I appreciate Pastor Benaiah last week for the great word that he gave. And pray for Natalie. She's ailing tonight. And I think he got out a little bit early to be with her and help her. She's fine. But sometimes you get run down. You know what I mean? And I got rested and I'm back. And so next Sunday morning, we're going to have a great time in the Lord. November the 7th, don't forget that Sunday evening. Dr. Johnny Minnick from River of Life in Nashville, Assembly of God, and my dear friend Johnny Minnick Ministries. How many enjoy Johnny Minnick? Amen. From the Happy Goodmans, and he's played for everybody to anybody. I'm the chairman of the board of that ministry, and he's putting out, that's him playing the piano there. He's putting out a new piano CD, just sacred music, and he's going to debut it here Sunday evening on the 7th of November. Some other churches are going to come and be here. And he's going to do some of his regular songs, but he's going to play the new ones. And he's going to bring a live band with him who are great friends of mine. Eddie Bell plays for the Grand Ole Opry. He's a drummer now. And Landy Ewing, one of the best bass players in America. And who else? There's one other coming besides Johnny. There's four of them. And they're going to be here, and we're going to have a time. That's November 7th. But until Wednesday night and next Sunday, I'm ready for more of the Word. Somebody say amen. Now, I want you to do something. If you'll do it, say, okay, Pastor. All right, you got your Word. I want you to turn somebody. Don't leave. Turn somebody you're not really familiar, like, who are you, little girl? Oh, Patty. I love you, Patty. And your dear husband who's waiting for us, and Shane, my son, and Vic, and Christy, and turn to somebody and shake hands with them. There's some friends right there. Be friendly.
I thought was going to give me that one.
You can have all you want.
He told me that was his.
Oh, here.